Welcome to Cat Chat, the pet talk podcast devoted to the physical and emotional well-being of cats and their people. I'm Tracy Hotchner, the author of The Cat Bible, Everything Your Cat Expects You to Know. My mission is to entertain, educate, and inspire cat lovers like you to give your kitty cats the best possible life in nutrition, affection, and environmental enrichment. My co-host is the feline expert, Dr. Michael Maria Delgado, along with other cat authors and experts. The show is brought to you with the generous support of Dr. Elsie's, a company privately owned by Dr. Bruce Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose mission has been to personally formulate a wide variety of litters for all types of cats so they keep using their litter box, which keeps them in their loving homes. Dr. Elsie also created his own cat food, Clean Protein, wet and dry foods that are specifically appropriate for a cat's nutrition needs because they're based on the protein a cat eats naturally. Clean Protein is the first dry cat food I can recommend because it's based on the protein found in a cat's natural prey. Dr. Elsie's is also the founding and continuing sponsor of my New York Cat Film Festival, which brings together short films from around the world that celebrate kitty cats. It would be impossible for me to bring this delightful joy to people without Dr. Elsie's generosity. The 5th annual New York Cat Film Festival will premiere this fall in New York City and then travel to theaters across America and Canada, with a portion of every ticket going to local cat welfare organizations. Please show your appreciation of Dr. Elsie's support by choosing their products whenever you can. My wonderful co-host, Dr. Michael Maria Delgado, knows so many of the things that can go wrong in human-cat relationships, and I would say the vast majority are human-driven. Michael, one of the issues that people have about having a cat is, oh no, it jumps up on the kitchen counter. Gross. Its feet have been in the litter box. Now it's walking on my food surface. Ew, ew, ew. Or its hair is going to, you know, like dust the countertop. Mm-hmm. What is it about cats and kitchen counters, and why is it attractive to them? And what should or can people do instead that gives the cat something to do instead of jumping on the kitchen counter, which is an interesting place, often with very interesting food left on it, right?
Yes. Yeah. And that's a big reason that cats like to get up on the counter, is that there are food scraps up there. Maybe not on the counter, but maybe there's a bowl in the sink that has a little bit of leftover food in it. So it's intrinsically rewarding for a lot of cats to go up there because they're going to find something to eat. This is a problem that a lot of people experience, and depending on their own personal tolerance, I mean, you mentioned, like, for some people, it's just gross. Like, they don't want their cat's paws on the surface. For other people, they find it difficult to, like, maybe prep or cook food if their cat's walking all over the counter. And for other people, it's also a safety concern because they don't want their cat walking on the stove or, licking knives.
Yes.
So there's lots of reasons that people can be upset about this behavior. And, you know, I think it's okay to have boundaries with your cat. And the kitchen counter is an area that probably most people don't want their cats to sit. So it gets back to the thing I always bring up is, like, what's the motivation for the behavior? Why is the cat doing this behavior in the first place? I will say that some cats are really obsessed with food more than your average kitty. And I think a lot of people have probably had a cat who was interested in human food, never seemed to be satisfied with their meals, even though they're perfectly healthy weight, getting plenty of food. And we don't really know why some cats are so obsessed with food. I have a friend, and her previous cat loved avocados, would steal biscuits.
Cut it out. Really?
Bread. Yes. Off the counter. Like, he would take a bag of rolls for sandwiches and, like, go run off with them. So he was really, I actually went with her when she saw a veterinary nutritionist and asked, like, why is he so obsessed with human food? And they didn't know. And we can assume that either maybe the cat had exposure to maybe human food, maybe when their mom was pregnant. A cat who's eating out of dumpsters may have a wider palate than your cat who's only had cat food their whole life. So definitely recognizing that some cats seem really obsessed with getting on the counter for human food or whatever food scraps are up there In that case, you have to really keep a meticulous kitchen.
Yes.
You need to either put all of your dishes in your dishwasher right away or get a big cutting board and put it over the sink if you have dirty dishes in there, and have wipes or whatever you need to keep the counter spotless. Lock away the food. You might even have to get childproof locks for some of your cabinets to keep your cat from going up on the counter and opening the cabinets for human or cat food. So for some of this, management is really key, because every time your cat jumps up there and gets a snack, they're going to try again, because it's like, this is great.
Reinforcement.
So we want to take away that possible reinforcement. The other thing is thinking about, like, when does your cat get on the counter? Is it only when you're cooking or when you're around? And you can put a webcam on your counters and see if your cat goes up there when you're not around. But if it's when you're cooking and when you're home, and you normally respond by either walking over to the counter and putting your cat on the floor or yelling at them or talking to them, or maybe that's where they get a lot of attention because yes. You're home from work and cooking dinner, then we know that there's a social reinforcement going on. Like, they enjoy the interaction with you. So you might want to think about, like, how you can give them some social interaction somewhere else in the kitchen. Can you put a cat tree or some other, you know, condo or shelf where it's okay for them to be? Maybe it's a stool in the kitchen. You place it in a special location when you're cooking and train them to sit there. So every time they jump up on it and sit there, you give them treats, you give them praise, you talk to them, and you let them supervise your cooking, right?
So that's like, that's very cute. They're like the sous chef.
Exactly. So that's one option if it seems like the primary motivation for your cat is social interaction. When you're cooking is also a great time to feed your cat their food or give them food in a food puzzle, so you're keeping them busy somewhere else in the house. So I'm a fan of that. And, you know, the other thing is just, is the kitchen counter where your cat can be high? There's a window over the sink that mm-hmm. they want to look out. And if that seems to be the primary motivation, then you really want to think about how your home is set up for your cat. Do you have a cat tree that's looking out a window where they can watch birds? Again, can you add some space in the kitchen where it's okay for them to be, where they can be high and, again, be looking out a window or watching you or, you know, just supervising that isn't the counter?
Well, I now have an interesting theory about the cat stealing the bread. Mm. And it's going to be from a different left field from your way of thinking about cats and nutrition.
Okay.
And it happened, the conversation was raised when Cat Chat was live on the Martha Stewart Living Channel of Sirius that I had for whatever, 7 years, live every Wednesday, 5 West, 8 East. I almost still know the 800 number. And there was someone who called in. I talked a lot at that time and continue to, not so much with you because you have a different opinion about feeding highly processed carbs to cats, which I call kitty crack. And Dr. Elizabeth Hodgkins, who had a feline-only practice, felt passionately about it, as do Lisa Pearson and some other wonderful feline-only vets. And even Dr. Elsie feels strongly, and that's why he created a food that was made of a different kind of protein for cats.
Yeah,
but she believed that this cat who was stealing entire loaves of bread had a carb obsession, a carb addiction. And a carb addiction is actually chronicled in people. The more that people eat, especially highly processed carbs, it lights up a part of their brain that is similar to, let's say, a pleasure drug, whatever drug you might think is pleasurable. Mm-hmm. So the craving of carbs is sort of initiated by feeding carbs. Now, some people are more carb addicted than others. You see people eating whole bags of potato chips or eating multiple sandwiches with a lot of bread involved. And other people who say, ooh, carbs aren't good for me, either don't have the obsession or just have chosen not to eat donuts. But for some cats, they're both unsatisfied nutritionally, almost in their brain more than in their gut, by eating highly processed carbs when they're an obligate carnivore who should be fed meat. And it's the carbiness. It's interesting that these cats, not many people have smoked salmon sitting out on their counter, right? But they are taking rolls, as you said, and loaves of bread. So having a bread drawer that closes, like some kitchens have a bread drawer or a bread hutch or something, or keeping it in the fridge because modern bread goes bad pretty quickly. If it doesn't, your bread's really full of chemicals because it should get moldy fast. Out of their reach is good, but we did a whole experiment, you know, again, citizen science. Please don't feed your cat any kitty crack for 2 weeks. Just give them canned food, and they're going to be starving because they've got this carb addiction. Feed them 5 times a day, feed them 6 times a day, small meals, until they calm down and realize, oh, I think I feel better. Did it cure the cat of stealing the bag of bread? Probably not, but it was the explanation that Dr. Elizabeth came up with, that the craving of carbs is unfortunately a hugely human thing too. I have one of my dogs who I could feed every kind of fancy protein to, and I do. And she will just sit politely and patiently by the biscuit jar and wait for, I break them in half, so I'm not giving her so many. She just wants the biscuits. She adores them. The other dog is happy to eat her meals and not do that. So I think some brains or metabolisms are more carb-driven than others. And for some cats, that might be true. If you've got a rotisserie chicken and you've had it for lunch and you want to leave it out so it's room temperature for dinner, probably still not good food safety for you. It's really hard to ask a cat not to go after, you know, chicken on the carcass, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just unreasonable. If you don't want to refrigerate it, then put it in your closed oven. But I think your point is well taken, that if they've gotten a good snack once, in terms of positive reinforcement and how learning takes place in a more sophisticated way, you don't give a treat every time. You give it randomly. And and you know, because you've studied this so much to get your doctorate, that behavior is reinforced by it being random. So if a rat or a cat or a dog doesn't get the treat every time, although that's very good, but gets it once and then not 2 times and then a 4th time, it's like, wow, they really want to do that thing.
Yeah, it's much
and
more powerful.
So if there's if you've left a stick of butter on the counter, right, to be soft so you can use it for cooking or for putting on bread, cats really like that. Mm-hmm. So if they ever come upon a chunk of butter, you know, you're doomed to keep them off the counter. It's like heaven on earth. They are going to come back to that counter till they're 22 years old because they might get lucky again, right? It's almost like a slot machine in Vegas. Yeah. It doesn't pay off every time, but boy, when it does, it feels so good.
Yes.
So something to think about. I think your point about the kitchen wipes is really important. Cat's sense of smell is every bit as good as dogs, never mind how many receptors they have. It's really a good sense of smell. They can smell stuff through a closed bag, through a closed door of a pantry. If you've got kitty crack in a bag in there and they can smell it and they're really driven by it. So you can't think that just even wiping with a sponge one swipe is good enough. You've left some residue there. So go with those disinfectant kind of wipes for the counter, right? That's the true meaning of immaculate when you have a cat.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that can make you feel better too. If your cat's, you know, litter paws have been on the counter, at least you will feel a little bit better about using that space. It really, I think, you know, again, it's kind of like some people are just much more sensitive or concerned about that type of issue. And so I totally respect that. And the best way to handle it is to just be prepared. And like I said, you know, while you're working on keeping the counters immaculate and not a place of reinforcement, being understanding that if your cat has previously been reinforced for getting up on the counters, it might take a little longer for them to understand, like, oh, if I sit on the stool, then I get treats here.
Or if the windowsill has now been cleared of plants or something so the cat can fit on the windowsill and there's a treat waiting for them there. I mean, you know, worst case scenario, put treats in surprise places that they could go find them. Then they'll go back to that place and look for it, right? A good treat though, something delicious.
I mean, I feel like treats should be delicious. That's the main criteria for me, is that my cat really wants them. And of course, treats should not be more than 5 to 10% of your diet.
Oh no, teeny tiny. It's more the thrill of finding it than it should never fill you up. And I want to say that the social interaction and wanting to be the sous chef is a really great point. Because you spend, even if you're making the simplest dinner, you're in there half an hour. That's half an hour where they've got you captive, right? It's like, wow, we could hang out together.
Sure. And what do people do when they get home from work? They start cooking
That's
usually,
right.
right? Pretty soon after. So your cat's been alone all day. You just
Yes.
got home.
Yes.
Like, I want to be in your business.
Yes.
That's
and that's a good sign. It means I care about you. I love you. So the other thing you could do before you set out to cook is do 5 minutes of a play session. I mean, Dr. Michael is now the play specialist for cats in the United States, maybe the world. So any one of her, the great games in her soon to be published book would be something to do. Give them 5 minutes of the world's most fun play session, and they will have bonded with you, gotten a wee bit tired out, and have some relief from feeling neglected or needing to be close to you.
Agreed.
Okay. Thank you, guys. And don't forget, no spray bottles where kitchen counters are concerned.
Yeah, notice we didn't even bring that
we
up.
We didn't even bring it up. And I hope you listened to our previous show about no-no on spray bottles. But you may use a spray bottle to clean your kitchen counter, but not to get your cat to leave it. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Tracy.
Thanks for listening. And I also want to thank Wonderside for their support. It's a company founded and run by a woman entrepreneur who wanted to find an effective way to keep fleas, ticks, and other pests away from her pets and home instead of putting toxic chemicals in or on them. Wonderside makes plant-powered products to keep parasites at bay without dousing your cats and property with ingredients that are harmful to them and the planet. A final pause up to Dr. Elsie's for all the fine products they make and their unwavering support of my mission to make life better for each and every kitty cat and their people. If you have cat problems or questions you'd like me to talk about on the show, please write me to Tracy at TracyHotchnerPets.com.